Okay, so today's daf Chaf Aleph. So we're finishing the second parak and beginning of the third parak today. So let's take it from the very top line of Chaf Aleph and Aleph. The Gemara is quoting from the different mitzvot in the Mishnah that what can be done during the daytime, what can be done during the nighttime. So Gemara says, La Rifas Egla, when it comes to Egla Rufa. So the Gemara says, Amar Amri Debei Rabbianai, Shekapara, Ksiba, Kikachim. That the Egla Rufa is compared to a Kapara, it's described as a Kapara, and just like Karbanos, which is a Kapara, must be done by Yom, like we learned in yesterday's daf, so too, the Egla Rufa also must be done by Yom as well. Rather than says, the Taras Mitzorah, that must be done by Yom as well. The Chassid says in an explicit pasuk, Zos Tia Taras HaMitzorah B'Yom Taraso, since it describes it being done by Yom, must be Dafka by Yom. So then the Gemara turns its attention to the second half of the Mishnah, called Laila Kashla Ketzias Omer, that the nighttime is permitted for Ketzias Omer, and a whole slew of other things as well. Damar Mar, it says in the Gemara Menachos, Ketzira Usfira Balaila V'Hava Bayom, that you cut the barley at nighttime, and you count Balaila as well for Sfiras Omer, and the carbon's brought Bayom. So Rashi just says, if you look in the Gemara there, you'll see how we learn the drasha. The Gemara doesn't bring the drasha here, but it quotes the Gemara in Menachos, which does have the source of where this is, how we know this is done Balaila only. So then the Gemara quotes from the Mishnah, Lahakdar, Chalakdar, Chalavim, Vaivarim, that you burn the limbs and fats all night long. The Chassid says in the Pasuk explicitly, Kol Halaila Adaboker, that's permitted all night long. So again, we're trying to prove the point that any mitzvah Balaila can be done any point of the Laila. So then the Gemara says, Zeklal, when the Gemara, the quote in the Mishnah says, Zeklal, this is the rule, Davash mitzvahs bayom, Kashik kol yom, that seems to be an extra statement. So what's it coming to include? So the Gemara says, Zeh klal lasuye mai, what's it including? Lasuye, to include cedar, bazichen, vesilik bazichen. That along with the carbon, rather the shochem, the lechem upanim and the shochem, there was these bazichen, these pots, or little, I don't know exactly where they're pots or spoons of lavona that were placed alongside the shochem and they removed alongside the shochem from the shochem. And these were allowed to be done anytime by yom. You could take it and remove it. And the Gemara says, this is the opinion particularly of Rabbi Yossi. The Tanya, the Gemara quotes as Bryce, that Rabbi Yossi Omer, Silik es hayishana shachris, they would remove the old bezichin in the morning from last week's lechem upon him, v'sider es hachadasha arvis, and they'd place the new one later on in the evening. So there's a period of time, several hours actually, where there were no bezichin alongside the shulchan. So the Gemara explains further in the Bryce here, ein makaklum, and that's not a concern, even though it says in the Pasuk Lefnei Hashem Tamid that it has to always be there, that lechem upon him along with the bazichim must always be there. So that's not a problem according to Rabbi Yossi. Ma ani b'kayim, how do I explain the Pasuk that Lefnei Tamid must be in front of Hashem all the time? Shol yeh shulchan below lechem, meaning an entire night or an entire day shouldn't pass without there being bread and bazichim. But as long as it's there at some point during the daytime, some point during the nighttime, that's good enough. So when the Mishnah includes that even the removing of the bazich and the removing lechem panim, that can be done any point during the daytime, as opposed to the other opinion against Rabbi Yossi, who says that no, when they remove the lechem panim, immediately the new lechem panim would come on. They'd actually take the new lechem panim and push off the old lechem panim, where other quantum would catch them on the other end. There can't even be a half a second where there's no lechem panim or bazich on the shulchan. So this is Rabbi Yossi's opinion, who argues and says there can be. There can be several hours. But as long as at some point by yom, you place the lechem panim on, you place the bazich, that's sufficient. That's who the Mishnah is going according to. And then what about the klal in the seifa of the laila? So the Gemara says, to finish off the perek, davar shemitzvasa balaila kasha kol laila. Any mitzvah that may be done at nighttime can be done any point balaila. So lasuya mai, what's this coming to include? Lasuya achilas pesachim, that carbon pesach may be eaten any point during the nighttime. And the Gemara points out, this is not like dilo kurebi Elazar ben Azariah, the sanya he holds in the Bryson Brachos, the ochlos of basar balaila hazeh, that you're supposed to eat it, this week's parsha actually, that you're supposed to eat it that night. Amar Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah, nemar kan balaila hazeh, the nemar lahalan, it says by Makas Becharos, bavarti beretz Mitzrayim balaila hazeh, that passed over Mitzrayim on that night. So malahalan, just like by Makas Becharos, it took place ad chatzos, it was before midnight. Afso to Khan, when it comes to the eating Karim Pesach, must be Al Chatzos as well. So Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says there is a time limit when you can eat the Karim Pesach. Our Mishnah goes against that it can be any time, but Laila, Kol Laila is Kasher, Hajin Lach, Hakore, Lemafreya.
He doesn't give the Asuya Imai according to the other man, the Amar, and the Amar school.
No, because this Mishnah goes against them. Mishnah goes according to the other Tana. It was authored by the Chachamim, not Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. They don't have to respond to it. They would say, we argue in this Mishnah. Yeah,
but they don't say why it's Yasuya Mai.
No, they don't have. They didn't author this Mishnah. They don't have to explain. Yeah, it's not like a pasuk to figure what the pasuk's before. Right. The Mishnah, they would write a Mishnah in a very different way. So then the new parak begins as follows. Back to Maseches Megillah and details of Megillah. So the Mishnah says, Hakari es Megillah omer v'yoshev. A person recites a Megillah may stand or sit. Either way, it's fine. And even l'chachila, one can do so. Kara echad, kara shnaim, one person can read the Megillah, or you could have two people read the Megillah, or even three, four, five. Multiple people can read the Megillah at the very same time. We'll explain why in the Mishnah. Yatsu, your yotze. Malkum shenagu levarech yivarech, place where the custom is to say a bracha. We'll see in the Gemara, referring to the bracha after Megillah. And shelo levarech, in a place where there's no custom to make a bracha after it, lo yivarech. And then the Mishnah goes just more generally speaking in terms of Aliyahs in general. B'sheni v'chamishin, a Monday and Thursday, b'Shabbos, the Monday and Thursday of the week, b'mincha, and also b'Shabbos mincha, b'karin shlosha, we read from the Torah three Aliyahs. Ein poch semehen, vein mosifin alem, it's three, you can't detract, you can't add on, there's a hosafa on a Monday, Thursday, or Shabbos mincha. Vein maftirin b'navi, there is no navi in maftir on any of these days. Haposeach v'achosin, one who begins the Aliyah, says a bracha, and the one at the end, the Batorah, b'varach l'funeu l'acharei, it sounds like here, the first, the Kohen, says a bracha just in the beginning, doesn't say a bracha afterwards, and the Shlishi, the last guy, says the last bracha at the end. There's only two brachas total, the first bracha and the very last bracha at the end. And we'll see in the Mishnah and the Gemara how that has changed over time. And then, b'rashi chadashim v'cholish ha-moed karen arba, there are four Aliyahs on these 2 days, rash chodesh ha-chol ha-moed. Ein pochsin mehen vein mosifin lein. You can't detract or add on to the four liyas of these days. Vein maftim benavi. There's no haftar either. Haposeach vachosin betarah mivarech lefaneh olecharea. The first guy says the first bracha. The last guy says the last bracha only. And zek klal. This is the rule. Kol sheyesh bo musaf vein yomtiv. Any day where there's a musaf, but it's not a yomtiv, such as Rosh Chodesh. There's a karan musaf, but it's not a yomtiv. Chol ha-moed is a karan musaf, but it's not a yomtiv. The din is karan arba. You read four liyas. B'yomtov, when it's a real yomtov, so then chamisha, then there are five aliyahs. B'yom HaKippurim, there are shisha, there are six aliyahs. B'Shabbos, on Shabbos, there's a shiva. Ein poch simhen, on Shabbos, we don't detract, we can't have any less than seven aval, mosif and alein, but you can have hosafas on Shabbos, at least. And maftir b'navi, there's also haftorah as well on Navi, and the Gemara is going to explain all this. And haposeach v'achosim b'torah, b'varach l'fanea u'lachar. The first one says the first bracha, and the last one says only the final bracha. Now, if you look at Rashi, why there's no hosafos on the other days, Rashi explains here, he says, because ein mosif in aleim, shelo yik shel tzibor, it shouldn't be too difficult, too overwhelming, overbearing in the tzibor, b'pnei shein yomei melacha, you have to go to work, it's Rosh Chodesh, it's Chol HaMoed, how many leads can you have? They're running out to catch the train, they're catching a meeting. The Shabbos mincha, samech l'chashecho, shrei kol yom ha'yirgin lidjosh. And also, so how about Shabbos mincha? No one's running anywhere, so maybe there should be a hosafos in Shabbos mincha. People learning all day long, been drushed all day long. We don't want to overburden the tibur, even though they're not doing a malacha. It's still, we don't want to be too much for everyone. So now the Gemara says as follows: Tana, the Braisa teaches us that Mashe Ein Kein Batara, as opposed to Batara Minahanimli. What's it Batara? That although you're allowed to sit when reading Megillah, you're not allowed to sit when reading the Torah. Why not? How do we know? Minahanimli. So Amar Rabbi Abou, Damar Krav, the Pasuk says, V'ata po'a omid madi, you should stand with me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says. So there's an inin of Amida, when Moshe Rabbeinu was Mekabel the Torah, he and HaKadosh Baruch Hu were standing. So too, Torah must be taught and learned be'amida, and went at least being read. Amar Rabbi Abou, Ilmale Mikra Kasev, had the Pasuk not said this, E.F. Shar L'Omer, we could not have said this. K'v'yachol, Af HaKadosh Baruch Hu be'amida, the Gemara is implying, as the Pasuk rather implies, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu stood. And we can't speak about HaKadosh Baruch Hu standing or sitting, but this is the Pasuk said, so we could darshan whatever that means, HaKadosh Baruch Hu figuratively was standing, and therefore we learn when we read the Torah, we have to be standing as well. How do we know when a Rebbe teaches he should not be sitting on a bed and they should be sitting on the floor? He should not be standing on top of them where he's more comfortable and they're less comfortable. How do we know? You should stand with me. A Kadosh Baruch Hu was on the equal playing field as Moshe Rabbeinu. So too, when a Rebbe teaches Tamidim, they should either both be or all of them be on the Karka or all of them be on Amita. But not the Rebbe should be more comfortable than the Tamidim. They should be, again, all equal. The Gemara then says, Tanya Rabban, the Braisa teaches us that Mimos Moshe v'ad Rabban Gamliel, from the times of Moshe until Rabban Gamliel, Lohayu Lemedim Torah El Me'umar. Everyone would learn, not only Kriyas HaTorah, but even learning itself would take place while standing up. However, Mishameis Rabban Gamliel, when Rabban Gamliel passed away, Yard Choli Li'olam, there's a certain illness that came down to the world. V'ayu Lemedim Torah Me'ushav, they only learn while sitting down. V'ayinu Ditzan, that's what Mishameis means, Mishameis Rabban Gamliel, Bata Kavar Torah. When you learn Torah, I once saw a person who answered the phone, a rabbi called, there's an Indian to stand up when a rabbi calls on the phone. That's a bit extreme, but it's a nice thing to do. So when you learn Torah, you should be standing up when you're learning the Torah. But a certain weakness came into the world, the weakness, either a mental weakness or the weakness in terms of proper respect for the Torah. And after Rabbi Gamliel was mace, then there was this weakness had caused people to sit down when they would learn. So the Gemara then says further, it says that so one pasuk says that Moshe Rabbeinu says, I sat at the mountain. The other pasuk says, I stood at the mountain. Which one was it? So Amar Rav Omed Velomed, he stood to learn, but he's Yoshi Vishona. But when he reviewed it, he chazered it. So then the din was he sat down to let it process. That's one pshat. Rabbi Hanina Amar, Lo Amar Velo Yoshev. He didn't sit. He didn't stand either. Ela Socha, he was leaning down. He was somewhere in between. It was a hybrid. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Ein Yeshiva Ela Lashon Ekva. No, yeshiva doesn't mean he literally sat. It meant he stayed there. He remained there. He remained standing. He was so engrossed in the Torah, he didn't move. Shenemar v'teishu v'kadesh yom rabim. He remained in the city of Kadesh. Not that he sat there for many days, but he lived there for many days. So Moshe Rabbeinu lived on Har Sinai, but he was standing while learning. Rav Amar, rachos me'umad v'kashos me'yushav. Depends on the nature of what he was learning. That which was a rachos, that which was easier and softer, he was able to stand and understand what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was teaching him. But that which was more difficult, you need to sit down and let it process. So depending what is being taught, that's what was Moshe Rabbeinu, that was his response. It's an interesting question. We're talking about above, that the Indian of standing and sitting during learning a Megillah, so it says by the Megillah, you're allowed to sit during the Megillah. So what about the brachos? There's a concept that brought down in Chazal, that you're supposed to stand when saying birchas mitzvah. So Pnei Yeshua says, that's only when the mitzvah itself should be done standing, does the brach also have to be done standing. But Pnei Yeshua says, but if the mitzvah can be done sitting down, so you could say the bracha sitting down as well. The Sfas Emes is not convinced by this. Sfas Emes says, maybe that's not true. Maybe the birchas mitzvah of Megillah should be said standing up, and then you could sit down to recite the Megillah. So it's not clear whether that's true or not. What is the status of the bracha of Megillah? So now the Gemara says the very last line here in Chaf Aleph, Amin Aleph. Kara Echad, Kara Shnaim Yatzev. If one person reads, or even if two people, or multiple people read all at the same time, you could still be Yotze, the mitzvah of Kriyas HaMegillah. So Gemara explains, Tana, Mashen, Kim Torah. This is very different than that of the Torah, in which way? That the Torah, only one person is allowed to read. So Gemara explains what's going on here. We'll look at Tosa on the top in just a second. Let's just finish a few lines in the Gemara here. Tosa is right here, Tani Rabbanim. The Torah, Echad Kari, Echad Mitargim. One person is the Baal Kari, and one guy translates. As long as we don't have one person as the Baal Kareh, and two people should not be Mitargim. That shouldn't happen. And Rashi just points out why. Top line, Ubavad Shlo Yeh Echad Kareh V'Shaim Mitargim. Why can't two people translate at the same time? But Kolsh can certainly Shein Shaim Kareh. And if two people can be Mitargim, Kavachomer, two people shouldn't be the Baal Kareh. Why not? V'taima Mishim Detrei Kali Lo Mishameh. Because the Gemara tells us in Rosh Hashanah, you can't hear two voices at the same time. It's hard to distinguish between which one is which. And therefore, you're not going to be Yotzei the Mitzvah. You're going to hear a little bit from Reuven, a little bit of Shimon. And therefore, two people cannot lane the Megillah, rather lane the Torah at the same time.
It seems that it's only the Targum is part of the Mitzvah on those days. Because we don't do
that. Yeah, no, we don't do now, but back then it was.
You would think that it's yeah. To be Yotzei.
Yeah, exactly. So then the Gemara says, Benavi, Echad Kari, Mishai Mitargumin. When it comes to Navi, we, although one person is the Baal Kari, when it comes to Mitargumin of the Navi, we actually can hear two people. The Rashi explains here, Uba Navi, Afil Echad Kari, Mishai Mitargumin, Shetargum Eina Ela Lashmir Lanoshim, Ve'am He'aretz, Shena Makirin Belashin HaKodesh. The only reason why it's there is not for those who understand Hebrew, it's for those who don't understand Hebrew. But Targum Hulaz Be'Habavlaim, it was their language, the Aramaic. Now, Targum of Torah, we have to chazer because we have to understand what's behind the mitzvahs. We have to understand the reasoning. But for Nevi'im, there's no mitzvahs there. It's just about understanding pshat. So the men understand pshat. The women don't understand pshat, so they have it for the women. But it's not really essential to the reading. For that reason, we're makel by two people for Targum of Navi, but by Targum of Torah, which is essential to the mitzvah, only one person is allowed to read at the same time. But then, just look at the next Rashi. We'll look at Avasar Mitargumin. Lo Garcinan Shein Targum B'Ksuvim. We'll look at Tosa in a second. Rashi writes, there is no Targum of Ksuvim. We'll see how Tosa argues on that in just a moment. So then the Gemara says, back inside, Ubanavi Echad Korei V'Shaim Mitargumin. Ubavach, so long as Shelo Yeshnaim Korin V'Shaim Mitargumin. But we can't allow for two Bali Korei. That wouldn't be allowed. Ubahalel Umegillah Afil Asar Korin. That by Hal Megillah, even 10 people could read at the same time, Vasar Mitargumin, as well as Targum of Ksubis as well, which again Rashi took the Girsa out, we'll look at Tosos, my time, and what's the reason why 10 people could read the Megillah and Halah all at the same time? Haven de Chaviva, you have the Tayu v'Shemayu. Since people are so excited to hear the Megillah, they're so excited to hear Hillel, they're going to be able to discern each voice, and they can hone in, focus on one particular voice, and pay attention from beginning until end, even though there might be nine others reading along with him. So look at two Tosism here on the side. Tosis writes first, Tana, Mashen Kikim Torah. That by Torah, only one person is allowed to read at a time. Perish Shein Kari Ela Echad. So only one person. Mikan Kasha, here's a question. Lamasha Pirsha Rabbeinu Meshulam. Rabbeinu Meshulam had a pshat in the Gemara Basra, in the Gemara Menachos as well, that says the Shmona Psukim, the last eight Psukim of the Torah, that were told Moshe Rabbeinu did not write, but Yeshua Ben Nun wrote, the din is, the Gemara says, Shema Torah Yachid Karoson, one person reads it. So the pshat Rabbeinu Meshulam says, what does it mean Yachid reads it? It sounds like only one person reads it, implying all the other parts of the Torah. Two people are allowed to read the Pesukim at the same time. Perish Yochid Kore Osam, Shali Krash Lech Tzibor Imo. That a person, the Shech Tzibor, I mean, the guy gets the Aliyah, and the Shech Tzibor, the Baal Kore, could only one person reads it. Only the guy with the Aliyah leans it, but not the Baal Kore. As opposed to all other Aliyahs, the din is that the Baal Kore and the Aliyah say it at the same time. They all say it at the same time. So it sounds like two people can read the Torah all at the same time. So he says that goes against the Gemara here, because the Gemara says only one person can read the Torah. So the bottom of Tosas here, he writes, L'chach nir k'mor shpeish Rashi. He thinks Pshat Rashi is more correct. But comments, what does it mean Yachad reads the last eight psukim? Not that one person as opposed to two. Always one person reads the Torah, never two people. Rather, Yachad means Kore Son Levado V'lo Yishnaim Mafsikin. You shouldn't split the eight psukim into two Aliyahs. One Aliyah, not two Aliyahs. But in terms of the how many Baal Kore, it's only one Baal Kore always. So this goes against the pshat of Rabbeinu Meshulam. Look at the next Tosas now. Uvu Megillah Afilu Asar Korinu Ve'asar Metargumin. So Rashi takes out the Girsa. There's no Targum of Megillah's S. There's no Targum of Ksuvim. Rashi Mochik Metargumin. The fish ain't Metargumin, Metargum of Ksuvim. Tosas says, what do you mean? Ubechina Machka. For no reason did Rashi erase his Girsa. The Vada Yesh Targum. This certainly is a Targum of Ksuvim. Avalo Asar Yohonasan. It wasn't made by Yohonasan. Yohonasan wasn't the one that discovered it. It'll be Me'at Tanaim Nasa. Because we remember the first paragraph. Gimel, and we said Yohonasan wanted to reveal it. Kosh Baruch Hu says you can't reveal it, so we don't have his Targum. But there is another Targum that exists in Ksubim, and that's not a crazy thing to have. And therefore, Tosos actually maintained the Girsa in the Gemara. So back inside the Gemara now. One second here. The Gemara says, interesting din here. The Rimul Neil explains the reason why these things are so chav of Megillah is because the Chibas Hanes, the excitement of the miracle, that's why people are so excited about this. So the Sitzei Chacham writes that if you have a certain parsha like Az Yashir, even though it is Chaviv, still, even though it might be Chaviv, like a Shir, like a Halal, we still will not have a Heter for reading two people. Even though the Svar might make sense, that there's an excitement there of the parsha, there is no Heter to ever have two people read any part of the Torah. So back inside the Gemara now, around eight lines down, the Gemara says, Malkum Shinagul Levarach Yivarach, where there's a practice to say the Bracha, by Megillah, that would be the practice, and if there's no such practice, they wouldn't say the Bracha. So Gemara explains, Amar by lo shanu elo lachare. This refers to the bracha after the Megillah. That depends on the minhagim. About lefaneh, with respect to the bracha beforehand, the birchas mitzvah, mitzvah levarach. There is a mitzvah to say the bracha before Megillah, according to all opinions. The Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel kol ha-mitzvos kula mevarach alayim over lasiyasim. We know that every mitzvah requires a bracha before it. Tefillin, tzitzis, sukkahs, everything. So to Megillah is a mitzvah, and therefore it requires a bracha beforehand, according to all opinions. Asks Gemara, which Gemara always asks whenever it uses the Lashon, that over lasiyasan, my mashma, the high over lisha dak dumehu. The word over means to pass. Over doesn't mean beforehand. To say a bracha before the mitzvah, over lasiyasan, the strange usage. And the Gemara says, yes, there are a few psukim actually that use the word over to imply before. What are they? Amar of Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Amar Kra, Vayarat Achimat, Derech Hakikar, Vayavor Sakushi, he went in front of the Kushi before him. Abai Amar Mihach, he brings another pasuk of who Avar Lefnem, he passed in front of them. And Vibai Seima, a third pasuk Mihach, Vayavor Malkam Lefnem, Vashem Beroshem. So these are three psukim in Tanakh, whereby the word over means before. So here too, as well, over Lishasa means before the mitzvah, is when one should say the bracha, the birchas mitzvah. So Gemara says, Lefaneha, my mivarch, what exactly do you say? What are the brachas said prior to Kriyas and Megillah? So answers the Gemara of Sheshes, Mikatrizia, that's where he comes from, Ikle Lekamid Rav Ashi. He one time was visiting Rav Ashi, Ubarach, he said, Manach, what was Manach? So Gemara points out, the Manach is a Megillah, Shasa Nisim, Nunes Nisim, and Chesed Shechianu. These three brachas are recited prior to Kriyas and Megillah. So my mevarach, so lachareha, my mevarach, what's the bracha one says afterwards? Baruch atah Hashem, Elokeinu melech haolam, hakel rabbas yuvenu, avadanas yidenu, vanokam es nikmasenu, vanifra lanu mitzarenu, vamishalim gemul lachol oivin afshenu, baruch atah Hashem, hanifra lisal mikol tarem. That's according to the first opinion. Rav Amar, hakel hamoshiyah, it should be the conclusion of the bracha. So your papa therefore says, hilchach nimru tervayu, therefore you should say both them, baruch atah Hashem, hanifra lisal mikol tarem, hakel hamoshiyah. And that's the bracha we paskin. This is one of the 10 places in Shas. I mentioned this in the past. There are 10 places in Shas that Rav Papa takes the din. Usually has to do with the Nusach of the Bracha. He says, let's take like both opinions and put them together. There are 10 places that he does this, and they're connected to the 10 Thunder Papa had. And that's why Rav Yashav once suggested why we mention Rav Papa's 10 Thunder at the end of every single Messiah, because there are 10 places he is Machria. He brought a certain Shalom into the world by bringing both parties together. So he was Zocha to have his 10 sons mentioned for the 10 places he had done this throughout Shas. So these are one of the 10 places. So Gemara then says, "B'sheni b'chamishi b'shabbos mincha karn shlosha." So we have the different aliyahs that we read on different days of the week, and Mondays, Thursdays, Rosh Chodesh, Chol Hamoed, and so on. So honey shlosha connected me. Why three? What are the three? It's an arbitrary number. What are the three? What does three represent in Yiddishkeit? So Amar Vasi connected Torah, Nevi'im, Ksuvim. There are three parts. There's Torah, there's Nevi'im, Ksuvim, Tanakh. So connected those three, we have three aliyahs. Rav Amar connected Kohanim, Levim, Yisraelim. Three groups as well. That's why we have three aliyahs. So Ella Hadatani Rav Simi. So when it comes to the total amount of psukim, we are supposed to read 10 psukim. So what's the significance? Which is a very seemingly insignificant pasuk. It's a very small pasuk, not much meaning. That counts as part of the 10. That's okay. So if that's, we see that the significance of numbers, honey asar connected me. So just like we had the significance of three aliyahs, what's the significance of the 10 psukim? So Amr Bishub and Levi connected asar batlanim shuba base knesses. We saw a couple times in this mesechta already, they used to have 10 people in the base medrash that we paid them to stay there. They're bata from work. They were there. There should always be a minute in the shul, hopefully a minute learning, and there's always a minute for tefillah as well. So connected those 10 batlanim, we have 10 psukim. Comes along of Yosef Amar, no, connected as Hartz Adibros, Shinemar al Moshe Sinai, that's what they correspond to. And then, skipping the parentheses, of Yochan Amar, connected as Mamaros, Shebehen Nivra Ha'olam. Actually, 10 Mamaros with which HaKadosh Baruch Hu used it to create the world. So, hey, Ninu, if you look through, they're not 10 Vayomers in Bereshis. So, Gemara says, Vayomer de Bereshis, Hani Tisha Havu. That's only 9, not 10. So Gemara says, Bereshis Nami Maimerhu. The word Bereshis, although it's not a Vayomer, but the word Bereshis itself is considered the 10th one, or really the first of the 10, but it's part of the count. Dechsivet B'Devar Hashem Shemaim Nasu Uvruach Piva Kol Tzom. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world with his mouth. So the word Bereshis is also the 10th Maimer. That's the dim. Happens to be there's a beautiful Maharal that talks about this week's parsha finishing up the 10 Makos. So the Eser Makos are connected to the Asara Mamaros through which HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. And there's actually a correspondence that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was undoing through the Makos, undoing the world and recreating it. So the truth is the first one, Makos Dam, was connected to the 10th Maimer. And you go backwards. So the Makos Becharos, the 10th one, is connected to the first, the Mamaros. So Bereish is actually connected to the Bechor. The Bechor, which is the firstborn, Bereish, which is the firstborn, the first one of the creation of the world, there's this correspondence between the Eser Makos and the Asar Mamaros. So now either way, we see that there's supposed to be 10 psukim when it comes to the laning. So look at the bottom Tosas here. Tosas says, wait a second, that's not always true. We have one exception whereby we only have 9 psukim, not 10 psukim. Which one is that? Happens to be related to Maseches Megillah and Purim. Asks Tosas, ain pochsin miasara psukim bebeis knesses. Never should there be less than 10 psukim in every total of reading. V'im tomar v'harei parshas amalek. There are only 9 psukim. When we read Amalek by Yevah Amalek on Purim morning, there are only 9 psukim. They're not 10. We do 3, 3, and 3, but not 10. V'yei Shlomar says, Tosfos, shiny parshas Amalek, the sutta de Yomahu, umafsik inyan erbei. We had no choice. It relates to the day of Purim. And the 9 psukim, we can't add a 10th psukim. That's pashup shop. Perhaps you can make another suggestion why this Dafka Amalek has only 9 psukim. Lemaisa, it's 9, not 10. So there's a heta to read it, but why is the Dafka pumped on Purim? We read only 9 psukim. So maybe you could suggest the following. That says in Gemara Sanhedrin, the Amalek attacked Klai Yisrael Berefidim. Berefidim, the Gemara says, Rafu Yodem Batorah. It showed us that we were weak. By us, we are weakening our learning of Torah. We are therefore vulnerable from Amalek. So perhaps the 9 psukim as opposed to 10 indicates the certain weakness that we have. You could also say this is a pshat. How come the only place we have a mistake in the zecher versus zecher? Never do we have anywhere else where we're not sure how to pronounce a word. Only dafka by Amalek. Maybe this is because they were rafu dem b'Torah. We were weak in Torah. So that's indicated through the zecher and zecher question. Also by the 9 psukim, that might indicate and underscore a certain weakness in our limud Torah. So back inside the Gemara now. So we said, either way, every other than Vayavo Amalek, every other reading must have a total of 10 psukim. So let's say you have now, the Gemara is going to ask the question. Let's say the Dafka 10 psukim. So the only way to break it up is 3, 3, and 4. Which Eli should get the 4? Should it be Kohen should get the 4 psukim? Should it be the Levi? Or should it be the Shlishi, the third one? And the Gemara is going to explain how each one has merit wherever you put the 4 psukim of the total of 10. So that's what the Gemara says now. Amar Rava, 4 medium wide lines up. Amar Rava, Rishon, Shekar, Dal, and Meshubach. If the Leah of the first one, the Kohen, reads 4 psukim, that's very praiseworthy. Sheni Shekara Dal Meshubach also. Even if the second Aliyah, if the Levi also gets 4 psukim, that's always praise, also praiseworthy. And Shlishi, if the third one's Shekara Dal, that's also Meshubach. Each one is a certain merit why they should have the most psukim. So Rishon Shekara Dal Meshubach, how do we see that the first one has more psukim than the others? That's considered praiseworthy. The Tzan, the Mishnah says in Maseches Shkalim, B'shalosh Kupos Shel Shalosh Son Shebehen Torminis Alishcha, that they drop the Shkalim in each of the different jars. V'haya Kasav Alem Al Beis Gimel, they indicate which is the first one to fill up, which is the second one to fill up, which is the third one. Leida, why? Ezmim Nishma Nichma Rishona Lachimenu Rishona Shemitza Barishom. To know which one was filled up first, to know you should take Shkalim from that bucket before the other one, because it's always good to take from the first one. That's how we know the first Aliyah should have 4 psukim. Emsai, Shekar Arba Meshubach. How do we know that if the middle one, Levi, read the 4 psukim, that that's also Meshubach? The Tani, the Brisa says, Emul Pnei HaMenorah. Ya'iru Milamed said that until the face, to the center of the menorah, all the candles tilted towards the center. Milamed Shemitzadeh Pneim Klapei Ner Maravi, and that all the other candles focused towards the Ner Maravi. If Ner Maravi Klapei Shechina, Ner Maravi focused towards the Kodesh Kodashim, where the Shechina was, Vamer Rabbi Yochanan Mikan, from here we learn, Shekan Mikan She Emtsai Meshubach, that if the middle Aliyah has 4 Aliyahs, 4 Psukim rather, that's praiseworthy because we see from the menorah that the middle candle is the most chashuv of all of them. So that gives a merit to the middle. And in terms of the last Aliyah, the Acharon, Shekar Arba, if the last Aliyah, the Yisrael, reads 4, Meshubach, that's also praiseworthy. How do we know? Mishum Mal Makodesh Vlomarid. We always want to ascend in Kedusha and not descend. So 3, 3, 4 going up in Kedusha, that indicates even the last one that has 4 is praiseworthy as well. So Rapapa Ikla the Beit Knishta, one time he visited the shul of Dabi Gover, the place, a person who owned that shul, I guess. The Kar Rishon Arba, the Shavchei Rapapa, happens to be the red 4 psukim for the Kohen, and he praised it. In Echanami, I'm sure if he would have read it at the Levi and Yisrael, he would also would have praised it, but that was the Maisa. Let's finish off the next two lines. The Gemara says, Ein pochsim hen vein mosifin, when it comes to all the Aliyahs, with the exception of Shabbos, you cannot detract, nor can you add on to the amount of Aliyahs. So Tana, the Brisa teaches, HaPoseach, Mivarech Lefaneh, V'achosim Mivarech L'acharah. The first guy, the Kohen, says a bracha just in the beginning. Then he finishes the Aliyah, does not say a bracha. Levi does not say any brachas. Yisrael only says the last bracha. That's how it was in the times of the Mishnah. But v'ha'idna b'zman hazeh, nowadays the Gemara says, "Dekul mevarech lefaneh ulacharet." Everybody says a bracha before the Aliyah and another bracha after the Aliyah, both all the Kohen, the Levi, and the Yisrael. Ha'inu time, and the reason is, the takini rabbanan, why? Gezer mishum nichnasim u'mishum yosim. Those who leave early, and those who those who come late, and those who leave early. Why? What's the concern? So just look at Rashi to explain. The Rashi writes around 10 lines up, Mishum hanichnasim, shim yikanis adam lebeis haknesis, acha shebirach rishon. He comes in before, after the Kohen read. So he missed the Kohen's bracha in the beginning. He gets it for Levi. Now Levi doesn't say the bracha before him. He doesn't hear the other brachas. Yomer ain bracha betar l'fanah. He's going to think there's no bracha before learning. And then he'll see there's a bracha. He'll stay towards the end of davening. He'll hear the final bracha of the Yisrael, but he didn't hear a bracha in the beginning. And same thing if a guy leaves early. He gets there for the Kohen and hears a bracha before him. The Kohen does not make a bracha afterwards. And he stays for Levi and there's no bracha for Levi. Then he runs out before hearing Yisrael finish it off. He doesn't see a bracha at the end. He's going to say, oh, there's no bracha at the end. So for that reason, they said there should be a bracha before and after for every single Aliyah. So let's quickly recap what we did. We finished off the parak talking about the source of how we know that mitzvahs bayom are all bayom. Miss Belila or Belila, we went through Egla Rufa, we discussed Taras Mitzora, we discussed Ksiras and Tzvirsa HaOmer, and then we said, what's it coming to include? That also Shulchan, Lechem Panim, Sidr Bezichin also can be done any point during the day, that Shitas Rabbi Yossi, and nighttime comes to include Karban Pesach, that could be eaten anytime during the night, against the opinion of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, who put a time limit until Chatzos. Then the Mishnah talked about sitting or standing during Megillah, and one versus and two people reading Megillah as well, and then all the different Aliyahs of weekdays versus Rosh Chodesh Chol HaMoed, and Yom Tif, and Yom Kippur, and Shabbos. And we said, although Megillah can be read by Meyushav sitting down, the Torah can be only read standing up, not sitting down based on the pasuk Vata Po Amidi Madi, you stand with me, there's an Indian of Amida. And then the Gemara says, after Moshe, after Misha Mesi Rabban Gamliel, there's a certain Choli that came to the world where people started sitting when they're learning, they had a certain weakness, they have to sit and learn. Rather than said, there's a pasuk that says that Moshe stood at Har Sinai, the pasuk said he sat at Har Sinai, how do you reconcile? Either he stood learning, he chazered sitting, or perhaps he was somehow leaning, it was in between, or it doesn't really mean he sat, it means he remained there for a period of time, but he was standing the whole time. You explain that there's an exception that although by Krisa Torah, only one person reads it, by Megillah and Halal, everybody, multiple people could read it, because since it's Chaviva, people are going to pay attention and hear the person reading. Now we said there's a minhag of when to say the bracha, of saying a bracha or not, that's only regarding the bracha afterwards, but the bracha before, and everyone must say a bracha, because the mitzvah of the kol mitzvos, over you say a bracha before performance of the mitzvah. We had a discussion in the nusach of the bracha of Rav Zivenu afterwards. Our papa said to do like both of them and put them together. And then what the three aliyahs are connected, either Tanakh or Kram Levim Yisraelim. The 10 psukim are connected either Asar Batalanim or the Asar Mamaros or the Asar Shazibros. And then the three different opinions, whether the four psukim for Rishon, Sheni, or Levi, either Rishon's the best because, just like we have that by Shkalim of the Chuma, either the middle one's the best because of the Ne'emar Avi, or the last one's the best, like Marlon Makodesh Maridan, and finally, the Minhag was Ma'azeh to say a bracha before and after every single aliyah. Okay? Everybody have a wonderful day.